Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. For many people, going to the grocery store makes them cringe at the price of food. So it's easy to understand how hard it must be for people who do not make enough money to buy what they need to feed themselves and their family. This is known as food insecurity. Food insecurity affects just under 4,000 people in Northumberland. Those are the ones that can be identified. It does not take into account those that are on the edge. Kimberly Leadbeater is a registered dietitian with the Haliburton-Kawartha Pine Ridge District Health Unit. She was part of a team that recently released a report on food insecurity and poverty. Not only will you find the numbers shocking, you will also find the same for the solutions. I'm so pleased to have with me today Kimberly Leadbeater, registered dietitian with the Haliburton-Kawartha Pine Ridge District Health Unit. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you for having me, Robert. I'm very excited that you're interested in this topic and happy to have this opportunity to sit down and chat with you.
Some people might wonder, why is the health unit writing reports about food insecurity and poverty?
Well, the health unit is very interested in food insecurity and poverty because poverty is an indicator of poor health outcomes. So there are many social determinants of health. Poverty is one of them. And, you know, people who don't have sufficient incomes have greater health inequities.
We don't hear that term food insecurity very often. What do you mean when you talk about food insecurity?
Food insecurity doesn't necessarily mean someone is suffering from hunger. What it means is that they don't have enough money to buy the foods that they would like to buy, either because of their own preferences or their cultural preferences, in sufficient quantities. So before their next paycheck, they're worrying that, you know, they don't have enough food in their cupboards.
Now, we hear the word poverty in different contexts. When you are writing this report, how did you define poverty?
We define poverty a couple of ways. So we're the health unit. We like reports. We like evidence, obviously. And the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation, or CMHC, when rent costs more than 30% of your household income, it's a problem. Okay, so if you're paying more than 30% of your income on your housing, then, you know, you're in a bit of a precarious situation. We also know that a low income measure after tax is another way that we are able to determine poverty. So in 2020, that low income measure after tax has indicated that 10.2% of the population in Northumberland County is considered at risk of food insecurity because of their income. And it's also important to note that, you know, maybe not everybody files their taxes. So this number could be even greater than 10.2% for Northumberland County.
Now, you mentioned a number as you were talking. Could you repeat that percentage of people that are living with food insecurity?
In Northumberland County, it's estimated to be 8.7% of households.
So help us then understand better what that means. So is that high? Is it low? Can you put that in some kind of context?
Well, I would think that that's too many people for sure.
I guess when I was looking at the census, it said that there's about 40,000 households in Northumberland. So what that 9% tells me is that just under 4,000 households would be impacted by food insecurity.
I think that is fair to say, but just remember that food insecurity doesn't necessarily mean that there's that many people that are hungry. They're struggling. They're worried and anxious, that.
Now, public health units across Ontario are required to monitor food affordability. How do you guys do this?
So we use a costing tool. It's called the Nutrition Food Basket. And the Nutritious Food Basket. And it's conducted yearly at the same time by all health units across Ontario. So it's generally done in May, and it's done at the same time because prices can fluctuate. And it's a standardized tool. So we actually go into grocery stores and we have a list of foods that we are monitoring the price for.
It was rather shocking to find out in the report that a family of four would need an income of just under $9,500 a month. That, when you work it out, is an annual income of about $114,000 a year. How would that be broken down in terms of expenses?
So they are looking at, the expenses would be, assuming that 30% went towards your rent, and whatever the figure is in the Nutritious Food Basket for a family of four, I think it's about $1,100. And then there's also factor what is hydro going to cost and things like that. So,
That is a lot of money when you think about it, for a family of four to live properly, I guess, and not face in a food insecurity. Does that number surprise you?
It really doesn't. Like, if you look at, what things cost to live comfortably, like, I'm guessing the number does surprise you a bit.
So how does that compare then to someone who's working a minimum wage job?
Well, people who are working minimum wage jobs struggle. They struggle for sure. I would say that they worry about having enough money to buy food. I would say people who work minimum wage jobs, it would also depend on what they're paying for rent. If they have been in the same place for a very long time, they're going to be paying less rent than someone who has just moved to Northumberland County. The same with mortgages. If you have been in a situation where you were able to afford to buy a house and you've got a mortgage at a decent interest rate, then, obviously it's going to be a little bit easier for you. But if you're new and to Northumberland County and you're coming here and you're working a minimum wage job, you are probably not going to be able to afford a rent for your own place. You're not going to be able to afford to, if the little bachelor apartment that you're looking for is likely not going to be able to be found.
So when you look at the report, it talks about a monthly income of about $2,500. And it ends up, just for somebody, if they're looking, say it was a single parent with two kids, you're looking for a two-bedroom a place to rent, it's like $1,300 in Northumberland, which would be about 52% of their income, or more than half.
And remember that place for $1,300, they're likely not going to be able to find it, because that cost, we're not saying that's what is actually available we're saying that's the average cost of what's available. So,
yeah. And yeah. And also too, I mean, that leaves about $390 for everything else, like, you know, for food and other things.
School supplies and clothes and, you know, all the things that you would traditionally buy at the grocery store that is not included in the nutritious food basket. So what ends up happening in almost all of these scenarios is that people will compromise their food, what they're buying. Like, that's the discretionary number there. They have to pay their rent. They need to pay their hydro. All of that gets paid. And what they have left for food is where they'll have the bit of wiggle room. So maybe they won't choose foods that, you know, meet their preferences or their cultural preferences. Maybe they will, you know, have to look for the most inexpensive, you know, foods available. And like you mentioned earlier, oftentimes the parents will sacrifice their diet to be able to provide for their children.
I know there are many, many seniors in Northumberland County. And in the report, this is one of the areas where it's most stark about how much money they take in under the Old Age Security and Guaranteed Income Supplement and how much their expenses are. Can you talk a bit about the challenges that seniors face in terms of food insecurity?
Well, I think, you know, they, like everybody, they face the same challenges. They have to pay for a roof over their head. They have to pay all their bills. And, you know, it's very sad to think of anyone, especially a senior, struggling to pay for food. Food, it should be a basic human right. We live in Canada. Nobody should be, you know, undernourished or struggling to buy food.
It would be really easy to think that because of inflationary economy and grocery prices going through the roof, that this would all be about the cost of food. But in your report, the conclusion says it's not about food costs, it's about low income. Can
exactly
you
right.
enlighten us how that works?
It really isn't about the cost of food. It's people have inadequate incomes. You know, if food was even, I mean, obviously everybody is noticing that the cost of food has gone up. But even before the cost of food went up, it was still inadequate income in these situations. They just don't have enough income. They have to pay their rent. They have to pay their bills. And what's left goes towards food, which was never enough.
What are the trends in employment and the businesses and other places that pay minimum wage? This tendency to see that a lot of jobs are now minimum wage jobs. How do those trends fit into this whole complex web of food insecurity and poverty?
So in Ontario, 48.2% of food insecure families work minimum wage jobs. And we know that, let me just look, in 2018, 10.4% of all employees earned minimum wage, and that's in Canada. So 1 in 10 people in Canada, based on 2018 statistics, are working a minimum wage job. And, you know, minimum wage jobs, it would be great if a minimum wage job was just for students to supplement, you know, have some extra money after school. But the reality is, like, 10% of the jobs are minimum wage jobs, and you have adults in those roles, and it's not enough money to be able to support themselves or their families.
What is the role of government in contributing to this issue?
Well, it's a sticky situation. It's easy to say, you know, just increase the rates to a living income, but obviously, you know, government is it's a tricky situation because you're going to have pushback from the employers because, you know, that is going to cut their bottom line as well. So, you know, I'm not an economist. I don't know the best answer, but I do know that minimum wage is not enough. And, you know, I think maybe I've been working at the health unit for almost 17 years. And these numbers have been, you know, the percentage of food insecurity has been the percentage of people living within the health unit region who are food insecure have been pretty consistent during that time. So something has got to change. And I think one of the concerns is people are under the impression that it is being addressed by food charity programs. Food charity programs are great. They are run by, you know, very caring volunteers, but they can't fully address the issue of food insecurity. You know, they are not open every day in the same hours as a grocery store. So if you're someone who is working a minimum wage job and you can't get to the food bank, I mean, while it's open, that's, you know, definitely going to be a struggle for you. We also know that only about 20% of food insecure people will ever go to a food bank because they, you know, they may be embarrassed. There's a bit of a stigma to having to go to a food bank. Food banks are not, you know, as accessible as grocery stores. There's not as many of them as grocery stores. So there might be transportation limitations. Hours of operation might not necessarily fit with, you know, the person's ability to access. So, but people think because food banks and food charity programs are available that it is addressing the need. So it kind of, I think that's the reason why people are not putting more pressure on the government to make changes. They're not necessarily aware of the gravity of the situation. And we know that people who are food insecure have a greater risk of, you know, concerns with mental health. They have greater risks of concerns with anxiety and stress. They are more prone to suffer from non-communicable diseases and infections. So all of those things puts a strain on our healthcare budget. So that's why everybody should be more concerned about this.
So what happens to this report?
So we will circulate this report with all of our community partners throughout the health unit region. Our real big ask is that, you know, people bring this to the attention of their member of parliament and member of provincial parliament, because unless pressure is, I'm saying pressure, but unless this is brought to their attention and they perceive this as an urgent need, it's just going to be the same scenario. Like I said, I've been working here 17 years and haven't seen a decrease in food insecurity, and this is what it's going to take.
Kimberly Leadbeater, thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're welcome, Robert. I hope that you can edit out all my ums and.
That was Kimberly Leadbeater, registered dietitian with the Halliburton Kawartha Pine Ridge District Health Unit. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County.
or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.